Well, this morning we're going to be in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Yes, you know it well, but don't write it off. Listen this morning. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 is actually really an amazing verse. We'll go ahead and read it. It says, "Therefore the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's an amazing verse because it embodies several different things. It embodies what happens to somebody for eternity if they're not saved. It embodies what happens to somebody for eternity if they are saved. It embodies what happens to somebody in their physical body depending on how they live their life and what promises they claim. And it also embodies what happens if they do not live their life according to claiming some promises. You know what? This thing covers all aspects, spiritual and physical. And this morning, I just want to preach on some basics, something that I know your church adheres to, something that I know you guys follow. But as I travel across the country, I see lots of different things, and I've been taking some notes as I've been going along, some things that are slipping in our churches and things like that. And it's not necessarily why I'm preaching that this morning, but hopefully this will give us encouragement this morning. This verse also embodies what every missionary desires to do when he goes to the field. It embodies what every pastor is pastoring for, what every soul winner is soul winning for, what every Christian servant is out there serving Christ for. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord God, thank you for this morning. I pray that you'll bless this time now. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to preach to you on the subject of what Christ died to save us from. What Christ died to save us from. And then what Christ died to save us to. You know what? In this day and age in Christianity, there is something that is put out there before Christians. There's whole organizations that train their people that go out from them to teach them to say certain things and to teach them not to say certain things because they're afraid that people in the world will get offended by what they say. You know what? Us as Christians, why should we not be able to tell the lost person what Jesus Christ died to save them from? How come we have to be worried about whether they'll get offended? How come we have to be worried about how we have to word it? How come we have to dance around the truth to try to make it look more candy-coated and less offensive so that they would accept it instead of just telling them how much the God of heaven loved them and what He actually did for them and what they don't have to be able to spend eternity in and what they don't have to be afraid of if they'll accept Him? This morning I want to spend the time mainly and preach on what Jesus Christ died to save us from. He died to save us from three different things. The first thing, let's go to Luke chapter 17. Let's actually save that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I meant to switch that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55. And it says there, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It says there, if I'm flipping too fast, you just write it down and listen later. It says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 32. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 32. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 32. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 32, it says, Then said Samuel, Bring ye hither me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. You know what the first thing Jesus Christ died to save mankind from? Jesus Christ died to save mankind from the fear of death. You know what the Bible says when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior? When we close our eyes in death in this world, we open them in life in the next. So there's no fear of the sting of death. There's no fear of the afterlife. You see, the person that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior fears eternity. There's an emptiness within inside of them that looks out and feels out, trying every single good work they could possibly do in the world, just like the Hopi Indians trying their good work. And I don't care what other religion you name in the world, it's if I am good enough, I will be able to have the peace to have a good afterlife. And you know, when they come up with all their different kinds of afterlife and all their different good works to be able to attain it, but it all comes down to short, if I'm good enough, I'll get there. And you know what? There's a fear inside of man. There's a fear inside of every man of eternity. There's a fear inside of every man of death, and rightfully so. But Jesus Christ, when He came to earth and He died on the cross and He shed His blood and He was buried and He rose again 3 days later, He did that so that we can see that He Himself conquered death. There's not another religion in the world. There's not another man in the world. Men take pilgrimages all over the world to different places so they can worship a man's bones still in a box. You know what? I've been to Israel and I checked out the grave and my brother and sister, it's still empty. Guess what? Jesus Christ rose from the dead to prove that we can have victory over death. We don't have to worry about the fear. We don't have to worry about the sting of it, so that we may know Him and the power of His resurrection. You know what? My sinner friend, if you're here this morning, if somebody's here this morning and they're not saved, and they're older, they've been laying on their pillow every night for years wondering, oh, what's going to happen? Oh, what's going to happen? Oh, I better... Jesus Christ died to save you from that fear. Oh, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Luke chapter 4 and verses 17 through 19. Luke chapter 4. What else did Jesus Christ come to save us from? The second thing. Luke chapter 4. Verses 17 through. I believe this is Christ's self-ordination here. It almost seems like that. It says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. It says there in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we use it a lot. A lot of us that are Christians, we use it most of the time in soul winning. And it says right at the beginning, for the wages of sin is death. Yes, that's talking about the spirituality, but it doesn't end there. It talks about the body. You see, every sin we work out in the body, we reap in the body. And every sin we do in the body brings forth death. Yes, you may be saved. Yes, you may die and spend eternity in heaven, but you can go out these walls and commit sin after sin after sin. And as you do, you're shortening your life day after day after day. When I talk to teenagers, I tell them, oh, but I just lied. Oh, you haven't heard the stories, the true stories of the teenager that lies to his mom and dad to get out of his house to go hang out with his friends, ends up going hanging out with them, not realizing there was going to be alcohol there, not realizing there was going to be drugs there. The car speeds off the road and every single teenager in that car dies from a lie. From a lie. You know, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. When Jesus Christ came to earth and died on the cross and shed His blood and was spit upon and was mocked and was tortured, He did not do that just so that we can accept Him as our Savior and spend eternity in heaven. That's not why He did that. That's a part of it, but that's not all of it. You say, what are you talking about? Jesus Christ came to give you victory over sin. Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed His blood so that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus Christ came to preach deliverance unto the captive. Jesus Christ came to give you power over the darkness. You know what? When man accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior, he realizes, I'm bound by the chains of sin. There's no way I can get myself out of these. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to accept Him as my Savior. I want to make Him my Lord and my Savior because I realize I'm bound by sin and it's dragging me to hell. Oh, I want God to free me from these bonds. When somebody accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, then is the time they can break the addiction of drugs. Then is the time they can break the addiction of cigarettes. Then is the time they can break the addiction of lying and of dishonesty. Then is the time they can break being deceitful and being whoremongers and being pedophiles and being those who are hooked on pornography. Then can they break the addiction of the lust of the world. It's only by having the power of Jesus Christ lying inside of them. You know what? Jesus Christ, this is getting later on, came to give you life and came to give it to you more abundantly. You know, when somebody accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, it's not just so they can walk on the shores of heaven for all of eternity. It's so they can live a victorious life here on this earth. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross so that we as man might have power over the vices of the flesh, over the vices of the devil, and over the vices of the world. You know what, if somebody's here this morning, isn't saved, and is having problems with sin, give your life to Jesus Christ. Accept Him as your Savior. Come this morning, tell Jesus Christ to wash you in His blood and make you clean. And from there on out, you have the power inside of you to break all those bonds of chains. You have all the power inside of you to break those sins. And for us as Christians, may we see Romans where it says, see each sin. Each little one is exceeding sinful. Oh, time after time, we as Christians, we get okay with our pet sins. Oh, but you know what? Yes, I'm drawn to this thing. Oh, yes, this is my pet sin. Yes, I know I have a problem here, but it's so hard. I'm just going to give in to it because I just do this one little thing. You know what? Jesus Christ died on the cross, and you don't have to have any sin that holds the power over you. You know, if you as Christians would just set your mind to it, if you would just memorize the Scripture, if you would just quote the Scripture when the things come in your head or when it goes to do those things, or if you just take the time to pray and take the time to read your Bible, take the time to reach down the side of you and say, I'm going to lift this thing. Oh God, I want You to give me the power. Oh God, I want You to give the help. God came in your life to save you from sin. Not only the big things, but the little things as well. It takes work. Yes, we're not going to be perfect. Yes, we're going to fall. But that should not be our excuse as Christians. Our drive and our goal should be ye holy, for He is holy. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross to give us victory over sin. He died on the cross to give us victory over sin. Mark chapter 9. A passage that's taken out of some places. Mark chapter 9, verses 44 to 48. It says there, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell and the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You know what, I as a Christian, I as a soul winner, as I travel around, there's a thing sweeping across the nations where if somebody's a sinner and they're trying to win them to Christ, they just tell them simply, you're going to be separated from God when you die. What does that mean? Is that eternal sleep? Is that eternal sleep in the grave? You're going to be separated from God when you die. Oh, there's tracts out there being printed by the thousands and being snuck into our solid, independent, fundamental Baptist churches that they have the verses on the back. Now, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. But you know what? Just because you know what it says doesn't mean the rest of the world knows what it says. It mentions nothing about hell. It mentions nothing about what Jesus Christ died to save them from. It just puts four little verses and gives no explanation. The person there, the Ethiopian eunuch, said, "How can I understand except some man show me?" You know what? There should be some explanation in our tracks. I'm not saying the Word of God can't have any power. I'm just saying it's being snuck in time after time after time all over this country. There's tracks being printed that say nothing about hell. There's tracks being printed that say when you die, you're just going to be separated from God. And Christians are leaving them on doors, thousands of doors throughout the country. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save mankind from a literal place called hell. How come we as Christians, when we're witnessing to the sinner, can't tell them that God of heaven, the creator of the universe, loved them so much that he left heaven, perfection, home, comfort, and came to earth and died on the cross so that they might be saved from a place called hell? How come we have to dance around it as Christians today? How come we can't tell them the truth? How come we can't tell them how much God loved them? Sinner, if you're in here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the God of the universe loves you so much that he left heaven and he came to earth and he died on the cross to pay your sin debt so you don't have to pay your sin debt yourself forever in hell. What is hell? It's a literal place. A literal place of fire and burning. Places other religions want to discount it and just say, "Oh, that's just a picture of something else. Oh, it's a picture of something else." They say that Jesus Christ talked more about hell in the Bible than heaven. Oh, Bible after Bible after Bible, they take out these verses where God emphasizes it three times. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Oh yes, hell is a true place. Hell is a bottomless pit. I stood on the side of the Grand Canyon playing around, messing around, standing there looking over. I got home that night, laid in my bed. This human imagination started going. I started imagining myself falling for those thousand feet, however far that is, those 3 or 4 seconds that would have been of just falling, knowing there's solid ground beneath you. You know what kind of fear that lights up inside of a human being? Oh, but hell is the bottomless pit. Always falling and always burning. Always gnashing your teeth, your tongue swollen with thirst, your eyeballs and the liquid in there probably burning. Oh, breathing in the smoke in the air as it chars your lungs on the way down. As you have your own worm that eats away at you day after day and hour after hour and minute after minute. And as you fall continually being turned and continually being burned with your worm and all the torments that go into hell and your tongue swelling up and you're crying out to God, "Oh, just one drop of water. God died to save the sinner from that." Why can't we tell them? Why can't we tell them? God died to save the sinner from death. You know what? When you accept Christ, there's no more fear of death. No more fear of the afterlife. No more fear of hell that's been taken care of. God died to give man the power to have the ability to break sin. God died to save man from hell so he doesn't have to spend eternity there. You know what? If you think about it, the angels, they disobeyed God. They sinned just like mankind did. But God died to redeem man and left the angels damned forever. That's how much God loves man. What did God save man to? What did God save man to? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. And it says there, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." You know what? You guys know the story well. Adam and Eve used to walk with God every day in the garden. They used to have perfect fellowship with God. They sinned. Now they're hidden. Now God is looking for them. What did God save man to? God saved man to fellowship. God saved man to fellowship. You know, when man sinned, man lost fellowship with God. God created man because he too was lonely. God created man because he wanted to walk and talk with somebody and love somebody and be loved by somebody who wanted to love them out of their own free will, out of their own desire, out of their own wanting to. And God created man, and then man sinned and turned their back on God. And when God saves a man and pays their sin debt, he does that just so he can walk and talk with them again. Just so he can walk and talk with them again. But yet we as Christians, week after week and month after month and day after day, we throw aside our fellowship with God because we're too busy. We throw aside our fellowship with God. We think, oh, we're going to be in heaven for eternity. But yet God himself died on the cross and went through everything so that he might have the ability to talk with you on a day-to-day basis. And yet we as Christians throw it away time after time after time again. Well, you think about on the cross, when Jesus died on the cross and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, the sensitivity of the Son to the Father knew when the fellowship was broken. Oh, do we as Christians, we should know when that sin sneaks up in there and breaks that fellowship. We should confess it and get it right and say, oh, God, lead and guide my life. I want to have that fellowship. I don't want there to be a wall there. I don't want there to be a crowd there. Oh, God, I desire to have that perfect fellowship with you. I desire my prayers to be able to make it higher than the ceiling and to touch the ears of an almighty God. God died so we might walk and talk with him.
Amen.
Oh, how dare we forsake it. What else did God die for? John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, a thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You say, yeah, I know when I die I get to spend eternity in heaven. Did you hear what I said before? Everything you do in the body is brought out in the body. You know what? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, Christian, you have access to that eternal life. Why in the world should we wait till we die to be able to live in it? But the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to give us life and came to give it to you more abundantly. The Bible says in Joel chapter 2, he came to restore to you the years which the cankerworm and the locust and the pommel worm hath eaten. Oh, you know what? When we know that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and when we walk in Him like we should, the Bible says that we have life more abundantly. Oh, this day and age, teen after teenager, child after child, adult after adult, they see the things of the world. They don't have fellowship with God. They don't walk with God. They don't know the life that's in God, that's seeing a soul get saved, that's in serving God. They don't know the excitement and how good that path is and how sweet that path is. And they're looking for an abundant life and all these other things. And when it comes to the end, they find death. But God has given us eternal life. God saved us to eternal life. Again, God saved us to life, and we can grab a hold of that now. And we can live in that now, and we can partake of that now if we'll just walk with God now and let God rule our lives now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to partake of eternal life. It's coming, yes, but you can partake of it right now. Jesus wants to give you a wholesome life if you just trust Him over the glittery things you see out and about. What else did God die to give us? Revelation chapter 20. You know it well. Go through the whole chapter. It talks about heaven.
Hey.
Jesus Christ died so that we might have heaven. If you think about it, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 116 and verse 15, it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You say, what does that have to do with anything? When somebody dies here on this earth, we as Christians that know they're saved look forward to seeing them again in eternity. We look forward sometimes 5 years, sometimes 10 years, sometimes 30 years. Seems like an eternity, and that's one of the blessings, and that's one of the privileges of heaven. But imagine God. Imagine He who was slain before the foundation of the world. Imagine He who knew you would be born. Imagine he who knew that when he died on the cross and shed his blood, you were on his mind. He was just hoping that you would get saved. He was just hoping that you'd plunge beneath that blood and be made whole. He was just hoping that you'd accept him as a Savior so that he'd be able to build you a mansion in heaven and walk with you in heaven. How many thousands of years has it been? God has not walked with you hand in hand yet. Imagine God when that saint finally dies. Imagine God when that saint finally walked through the pearly gates after all that time. And he's been working on their mansion with them in mind, personal. Come see the place I prepared for you. And shows them the place and shows them all around it how he made it just for them. And how he made it with them in mind and all their personal wants and things like that. And he shows them around heaven. And he says, I've been waiting for thousands of years to be able to walk with you hand in hand. Oh, and for the Christian, we think about heaven. We think about the pearly gates. Oh, we think about the pure gold streets, which are see-through. You think about the jasper walls, which are see-through. Do you think about that day when heaven, when the New Jerusalem drops down out of heaven and you see God sitting on His throne, and as He's sitting on His throne and the emerald rainbow around Him and His glory shining forth, the walls do not block it because they're clear jasper. The floor does not block it because it's pure gold. His glory becomes the light of the earth, and you see everybody around Him and you see the 420 seraphims crying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, and we get heaven for eternity. What did God come to save us to? Oh, you know what? Simple basics. But yet, it embodies everything we're about. Every missionary goes to the mission field and tells that person, Jesus Christ died so that you don't have to. Jesus Christ died so that you don't have to fear death. Jesus Christ died so that you can have the power over alcohol, so that you can have the power over drugs, so that you can have the power over promiscuity, so that you can have the power over all these things, so that you can have a family, have a sweet life together, so that you can have eternity in heaven, so that you can escape hell for forever. And if you accept Him as your Savior, you'll get heaven. And if you walk in it, the Bible says your life will be knit back together. And you'll have life more abundantly here on this earth. That's what every soul winner's prayer is. That's what every preacher's prayer is. That's why you support missionaries. That's why missionaries go. So that they can tell them what Jesus Christ come to die to save them from. Jesus Christ died to save them too. If somebody's here is not saved this morning, you've tried everything in the world to break those sin habits. Every single pill, every single patch, every single psychological thing the world has offered. They can't do it. Only Jesus Christ can. Why don't you come to the altar this morning? Accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Get power over sin in this life. Get a home for heaven for eternity. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, thank you for this evening. Good morning. May you bless it. Heads bowed, eyes closed, Pastor.